We in our church family and our history and our heritage are people who aren't bashful or ashamed to say that we are people of faith. We have faith. We live by faith. That's one of the tenets of our heritage. One of the stone and foundations of who we are, that we have faith, and not just faith, but faith in God, faith in Jehovah, faith in this one who says he's going to do what he's going to do, the faith in the one who has healed, faith in the one that does marvelous things. We don't become bashful. We don't hide in telling the world that we have faith in this God, even if it doesn't make much sense, even if it isn't a God that we can see with physical eyes, even if there are people out there that would spend hours and time and money to disprove this God, we stand up as people of the body of faith saying that we have faith in God. Amen. Furthermore, we are people who try our very, very best to not just preach it and teach it, but live it. We are people who try our best to live by faith. Now, yes, it's not an exact science. Yes, we have shortcomings, but we are people of faith. We have placed our foundation in faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith allows us to live lives acceptable to God, despite the many trials and difficulties we may face. I mean, some of us in this body have had cancer, yet they still determine to live by faith. Many in this body have had difficulties in living day to day, financial difficulties, but still have decided to live by faith. Some of us have experienced death and loss of close ones, yet still determined to try our very best to live by faith, because our faith, you see, rests in the fact that there will be a time on the other side of this life that we live right now here in the flesh. There's going to come a time when there will be no more cancer. There will be no more death. There will be no more difficulties. Our faith is placed in the fact that we will enjoy everlasting rest on the other side of this life with God in heaven. Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter, a wonderful piece of literature, a wonderful piece of literature that if we read it and study it and embody it, we too can be listed among the heroes of faith. I think Sister Anita Lawhoon last week sat me down and she was sharing with me that she had a Bible study, a Beth Moore Bible study on Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is 40 verses. And the teacher told the students, Beth Moore, I guess it was, to add verse 41 to Hebrews. And this is an acceptable thing to do. And put your name there. See, hopefully at the end of studying these heroes of faith, Dion can say, and Dion lives by faith. And Michelle can put in her Bible, Michelle lives by faith. And Chuck can put, Chuck lives by faith. By faith. Hebrews 11, the Hebrew writer tries to encourage and exhort the readers of this text to live by faith. If you would read with me from Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That same reading from the Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we do not see. The Hebrew writer starts off this passage by, in his or her mind, defining what faith is. Faith is being absolutely sure that what we hope will take place in the future will actually take place, even though we cannot see the one who established that hope for us. That is to say, simply, if I think and hope and believe that something is going to take place, I have a firm trust and faith and belief and confidence that it's going to happen. Faith is being absolutely sure. Put another way, faith is the assurance that the things God has said in His Word, through His Word, are true, and that God will act accordingly to what He has said in His Word. And after this definition of faith, as if to say, you don't understand that, okay, that's word, you don't know what assurance is about, you don't know what certain is about, let me give you a few examples of faith. And then the Hebrew writer marvelously marches through the stories of our ancient ancestors, Abel and Enoch. And this morning we're going to look at this cat named Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The Hebrew writer invites us. He invites us back long, long, long time ago to the story of Noah. You can read the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 through verse 8. But if you would allow me to briefly summarize the story. In Genesis chapter 6, there's an explanation here that says that basically the world had become evil. It had become so despicable that God said, you know what? I've had enough. And I'm going to destroy it. It talks about all the evil that was there, the giants, and it says the sons of God were marrying the daughters of men, and obviously that was something that God wasn't pleased with. It was evil. Yet there was a guy named Noah. A guy named Noah that was different. Bible says that Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord, that God looked on him as being someone who was different. Well, God had determined that he's going to destroy the world by flood. And so he calls down to Noah. And in a paraphrased conversation, I would imagine it went something like this. Hey, Noah. Yes. And God may have said, it is I, Jehovah, I am. You know, all the great names that we use. Okay. And Noah face, but I won't do that right now. I am going to destroy the earth, God says. And Noah kind of, okay, what do we do? Well, it's evil, but listen, I want you to build an ark. Noah. What's an ark? Don't worry about that right now, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to make it the size of 1.5 football fields, 450 feet. Noah. What's football? Don't worry about that. Several thousand years later, there'll be people going crazy over this thing. But I want you to make it 450 feet and 75 feet high and 45 feet wide. Okay, God. But I know you're creator and I am and over everything, but I live kind of in the desert. Don't worry about that right now.
Just do what I called you to do. Build this huge boat. Okay, I hope you're picking up on the absurdity of what's going on here. God has called Noah to build a humongous boat, and there's no water around. No water. So how would you respond to that? How would you respond to God's request for you to do something that's seemingly silly? Well, it says that Noah did all that God commanded him to do, and it obviously took several years. Could you imagine Noah with his boys, and they're just building this ark, they're building this boat, and they're, you know, Dad, what are you doing? Hey, I'm just doing what God called us to do. And there was probably a time where the sons bought into it and they were doing it. But what about Noah's friends who are walking by, you know, walking by with their son? And, you know, the son says, hey, Dad, what is Mr. Noah doing? Well, he's been talking about building a boat, son. But you see, Noah's a different cat, okay? He's, you know, the elevator doesn't go all the way up to the top. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Noah's not all there. All the ridicule, all the people talking about Noah, all the people saying, what are you doing building a boat? And there is Noah saying, listen, I'm building this boat because God said he's going to destroy this place. He's going to rain and it's going to flood and all of creation are going to be destroyed except for those that are in this ark. You need to get in his ark. And day after day after day after day after day, Noah preached about something that he couldn't really see and probably couldn't even fully understand. Yet faithfully, he built this humongous ship, the length of about a football field and a half. Got the animals on 2x2, and you know the song. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it flooded. Is faith knowing absolutely 100% and understanding everything that you're doing? I suggest to you, when you live by faith, there are going to be many times that we in the body of Christ, that we in God's family, will be asked to do things from God that we just don't understand, we just don't get. Yet we do it by faith. We do it because God called us to do it. We do it because God said, do it. And I think that when we faithfully respond to what God is calling us to do, like Noah did, when Noah began to build this ark, this boat, this ship, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure when he put the few pieces of board down, he didn't understand it. But as that boat began to draw near to completion, sure that Noah began to say to himself, aha, I think I get it. And I think that when he got in the boat with his family, with all these animals, and it began to rain, and the boat began to be lifted by the waters, I think he began to get it. Noah did all that God had commanded him to do by faith in this God, not by reason. Even though reason is important, even though trying to understand how things work is important, we people in the body of Christ don't always do things by reason. You see, if we use reason, we wouldn't love each other like God has called us to love. Because if I use reason, there are just some people that I just don't want to love. But I love because God has called me to love. And I love by faith, and I enjoy that loving by faith. Faith is not knowing everything or even understanding everything. The key factor is that you trust in God to carry out what he has said he will do. With each piece that Noah added to the ark, as each day passed by, Noah's faith grew, and he could understand better what was coming to pass. So that's why the Hebrew writer mentions Noah in his list or her list of those who should be commended because of their faith. Noah built by faith. And despite the difficulties, despite the ridicule, despite the absurdity of building a humongous ship in a desert, no place to launch, no place to get this huge ship to a place to launch, he did it anyway. When we as people live by faith, it's just not going to be easy. Because the evil one's out there trying to divert us from what God has called us to do. Let me tell you something. I worked all last week up on these houses, painting these houses, and work with these kids. And if you can look at Morgan over there and I, we're about closer to the color of this mic stand because we were up in the sun so long. I'm tired. We get here this morning. Sister Gloria comes downstairs and says, I think we've had a break-in in the church. Yep, someone broke in the church and took some checks and took some stuff. And not that I had the cleanest office in the building, but they messed up my office pretty good. Difficulties. Satan will do that, won't he? When you're trying to walk by faith and live by faith, he'll throw difficulties at you. Well, I'm here to declare before you, I don't care what the thieves took. I don't care what they messed up. I don't care what they broke. I don't care what they took. I don't care where they're at selling it. I don't care about being tired. I don't care about these difficulties. I'm going to live a life that's different. I'm going to live a life that makes a difference, and I'm going to do it by faith. And church, we can't be deterred by stupid thieveries and difficulties. We have to walk and live by faith. And when people ridicule you like they ridiculed Noah, you have to walk by faith. And when people say you can't get it done, you're preaching foolishness, you need to walk by faith. When people says what that God you believe in is not a real God, he's not real, you need to walk and talk by faith. God chose Noah to build his ark because he was different. Everyone else was evil. Everyone else did not what the Lord wanted him to do, and he chose Noah because he was different. In church, if we are going to make a difference in this world, we've got to be different in the way that we put our faith and trust in God, in the way that we hope in God. We've got to be different. We cannot be wavered and tossed to and fro by everything that goes. We've got to be different. That's why when we experience death in the church, we deal with it differently. We grieve, we cry, we get hurt, we get mad, but we deal with it differently because we have hope and insurance in God. Amen? Amen. When people steal things from us, steal material things from us, we should act differently because we know that materials are nothing. It's just a key box. It's just a who cares. You've got to be different. And Noah was different. And Noah was different even though he probably didn't understand everything that he was doing. And sometimes in his walk of faith, we're not going to understand everything that we're doing, but we need to walk by faith. That verse right before talking about Noah says, without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We've got to be different, and we've got to make a difference. Because of Noah's act of faith, the human race was preserved. Did God have a substitute in line if Noah said no? I don't know. But what we do know is that because Noah said yes, we stand here as descendants. And we stand here today with the ability to make a choice, to believe in God, to have faith in God, even when it doesn't make much sense. I will say it time and time again. Does it make sense that God calls us to be buried in water to wash away all the things that's on the inside? But we don't do it because it makes sense. We do it by faith. There's something spiritual going on there. We do it by faith. Doesn't make sense that we come here and do some silly things in church. We do. We don't do it because it makes sense. We do it because we have hope and trust in God. We do it because He's going to reward us for it. And we do it to make a difference. We do it to make a difference. We didn't paint houses this last week just to make houses look pretty. We painted houses in pretty rough neighborhoods to make a difference. And I know that we were making a difference. There were groups of people where we were painting houses that at the beginning of the week were staring, I think poking a little fun at us. By the end of the week, some of the same people were bringing us popsicles. Hawaiian punch with a lot of ice in it. We made a difference. And we're committing to making a difference because we're not going to leave those places. We're going to go back. We're going to visit the homeowners. We're going to visit the neighbors. Because life over there is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. People living without hope. People living in fear of losing their lives. Gunfights. Senseless violence. I think a lot of times they live their lives thinking that nobody cares about them. Well, we in the church, we need to be different, amen? Amen. We need to try to make a difference, amen?
Amen?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to go into a place that is violent and there's fear of you losing your life. That doesn't make sense. But we have to do it anyway. And we do it by faith. Faith that makes a difference. Faith being played out by people who are determined to be different. If we're not different, we will fulfill the prophecy of George Barna, who I mentioned last week, who said, "The church every day is becoming more like the world it seeks to change." If we're going to change the world like Noah did and obeying God, being faithful to God, we've got to be different. We've got to walk by faith. Let's pray. God, I don't know what you're calling us to build specifically. I haven't heard you call us to build an ark yet. But whatever it is you have called us to build or to act in or to act upon or wherever you've called us to go and live and minister. Father, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense for our finances or even if it doesn't make sense that we would dare move into an area that's not safe. Father, I pray that we would not be overcome with the difficulties that we surmise may take place if we follow you. Father, I pray that we would walk by faith like Noah did, who in the face of ridicule and uncertainty placed his hope in you, placed his faith in you, and even preached about you. Even though you hadn't started to do what you had said you were going to do, he had hope. He had faith. He had trust in what you said he was going to do. Father, we want to be those people. We want to be those people who aren't so consumed with our safety. We're so consumed with how you're going to make a way. We want to be the people who know for certain that in all circumstances, when we follow your lead, you're going to make a way. Convince us of that, dear Lord, this day. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The faith that Noah exhibited is no different than the faith that Jesus Christ often requires us and tells us he wants. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, don't worry about where you're going to eat or how you're going to do this. Just the story of the rich young ruler, of Jesus telling this young ruler, you know, who wants to follow him, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And he walks off sorrowful. The story isn't just about this ruler's attachment to his materials. It's much more about his inability to put his faith in God and that God was going to take care of him if he walked by faith. Church, that's the faith I invite you to have. That's the type of faith that I hope that you would encourage me to have. A faith that doesn't worry about my needs, my desires, but a faith that just follows God. I walk by faith. I just don't worry about that stuff. And we as the body of Christ need to, as a body, embody this same faith that we do things. Man, that's going to break the budget. God's going to take care of us. Man, that's going to put us in some unsafe neighborhoods. God's going to protect us. Man, that's going to give us a bad reputation. God is going to take care of us if we walk by faith. If you have any requests on your mind and your heart that you want us to pray for, if you're not a Christian, you want to become a Christian this morning, I invite you to come as we stand and sing.